Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me now in our visual radio studio as part of our monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, Barbara Tedrow is here from the Gold Star Academy and also the new Faces First organization. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in and being here. Appreciate you being here to talk about early childhood education and childhood education and all these other very important topics that compete with CHIC, right? That
help
add to the health of our community.
Correct. Yes.
And I was surprised to learn that even though New Mexico doesn't score very well with education nationwide, you were telling me that when it comes to helping children in learning, we are actually ranking a little higher, much higher.
Correct.
Right?
When it comes to child well-being, that is correct, that we flip-flop between 49th and 50th.
Yeah.
However, the state has taken a big initiative when it comes to early childhood education, and all of the focus, the monies that we have put into it, that we are now actually ranked 14th. Childhood education and early learning.
Okay.
We've come a long way, and we've received recognition from the federal government. We've received several grants throughout to help this endeavor, and it shows. And we've got other states that are looking to us. Oklahoma and so forth have invited the directors of early childhood education to go out and speak with them. They've been to national conferences to speak about early childhood in New Mexico and how we are doing that right. And it's not an overnight. It will get eventually to leading to that education on up when they get into PED and kindergarten. The whole goal of early learning is to get these children kindergarten ready.
Right.
It starts young.
That's the idea. And you've been doing this for a while, even though you're very young. But you've been doing this for a long time, and you've got early childcare centers throughout the community, and you're on the state board, correct? Remind me about that. I wrote it down. The ELAC Council.
ELAC, right? Correct. It's the Early Learning Advisory Council.
Thank you.
I've been doing childcare for 19 years now.
Right.
And so in the years we've been able to grow, and so now we've got four sites within Farmington.
Right.
Lots of collaboration that has happened throughout Farmington to make that happen. It wasn't just me. It took the community. It took the people believing in me and saying, keep doing what you're doing. It's working. It is showing. The numbers are getting up there. Farmington Schools, we're glad to see. I just wrote our new grant for the 3-year-old pre-K and 4-year-old pre-K. And the statistics of where we have gone in the past 10 years with our numbers of having no Fs and Ds, being Cs and As and Bs, some of those schools that were at Ds are now at Bs. It's working.
Right.
And it starts when they're young. It doesn't just magically happen at 5 years old. It's taken what we've been doing. I've been doing the New Mexico Pre-K grant, which is in essence a free pre-K program. It started with Senate Bill 120 back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I helped work on that legislation on behalf of the CYFD side. And what it is money's come in through the general fund. And right now, we're about over $70 million that the state invests into New Mexico pre-K. And the monies are split 50-50 between PED and CYFD, which Farmington schools have their New Mexico pre-K programs.
Right.
And those are run primarily through the Kate Center. And they've got, I believe they're now taking the Esperanza and they're moving them over to the Kate Center. But they serve about 250 children. And we've collaborated. I have got 100 children on the grant, which are full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And PED serves those children and their half-day programs. So we've worked together in our community so that we have both. We have parents who need that part-time, can go to the part-time, and when we need full-time and wraparound services, they come to CYFD. And we worked very hard during that grant to make sure that monies were split 50-50. A big part of the reason for that was that there needs to be parental choice. And not every child can be gone just from 9 to 3 or 9 to 12.
Right.
Pre-K does need to be some. High-quality child care centers operate full day, year round. So we're not just open during the school year. Lots of parents need that as one of their choices. So yes, they should have the same capability and availability to attend the New Mexico pre-K. However, they need wraparound services. A lot of these still go to school, they still go to work, and so we can offer that for them. And so that's why we wanted to make sure that the monies were split and parents had a choice.
And some of these things are unique to our state, I would think, or at least the rural nature of our state, where maybe transportation is a challenge for some parents, and getting the kids to and from daycare and these kind of preschool and some of these other programs, right, to try to do that. And they can't all break away from work to get the kid back
and
forth.
That's right. And so a big part of what the legislators deemed necessary was that not only monies to pay for the education of the New Mexico Pre-K was they also have transportation funding available. And so that is a big part. You write in your grant, a lot of these children wouldn't have access otherwise. And so the transportation is there to go and pick the children up from their home, take them to the centers, and then take them back. And both sites, Farmington Public Schools has the transportation, and we also have the transportation.
Good to know. And so, as you mentioned, it really is a partnership, isn't it, between these private businesses like yours and these government entities like the school districts and even others in the community to make these services available to our families if they need them. And again, it is a choice for the parents, correct?
That's correct.
No one's forced to do this.
And that's why we wanted to make sure in Senate Bill 120 that there was a 50-50 split between the monies, because we didn't want them to be saturation. And we've seen this happen in some of the communities, because what wasn't happening was that there was a collaboration. I am very lucky that in Farmington, when Janelle Ryan was superintendent and we started, we had already been doing New Mexico Pre-K for about 8 years when I met with Janelle, Ms. Ryan, and we talked about the program and getting it into PED, and that's when we collaborated and said, okay, you need to do one part of it, you do the full day, we'll do the part day, so we can access as many children as possible. And a lot of the communities, it's not like that, and you've seen that happen throughout the state. Los Lunas, for one example, that didn't happen, and you've now seen two childcare centers that have closed. And that has to do because there was an oversaturation of New Mexico Pre-K, and we need to keep in mind, I truly believe every child should have access to a high-quality pre-K. However, we need to keep in mind that there are still small businesses, that a business model contains four-year-olds.
Right.
And if we were to take them all out of the high-quality licensed centers, which are private businesses, and keep in mind that most child care center owners are Hispanic, are minority women. And so to take that away from the hardworking people that have built up a business, you can't sustain a business model without four-year-olds. And that's where we want to make sure that we don't have the saturation and we don't take away and take private businesses out. Private businesses are tax-paying entities.
Right.
We've got over 900 childcare centers in the state of New Mexico, and the gross receipts taxes that we provide are high.
Sure.
Substantial. And to lose that is one of the unforeseen consequences that we don't want to see happen.
Right. And that's sometimes what can happen with some well-meaning legislation, but there could be some other circumstances that happen. And so it's important to, I guess, look at all angles of these things as they come through. And that's important. And that's what the commission, the council that you're on does, correct? This ELEC council.
Yes.
Anything that refers to early childhood education or other things, related things, comes through your group, correct? And you have some of the cabinet secretaries on this council with you.
Correct. ELAC was started during Governor Susana Martinez's first term, and it was written into statute that it's an early learning advisory council. And one of the main reasons that it was formed is because in order for New Mexico to apply for federal grants, you have to have a council in place. And so this council will oversee anything, any agenda item, any entity that has to do with children up to five prenatal. Through five, because there are lots of programs that involve with children prenatal, which is your home visiting programs. So this council consists of stakeholders, child care providers, home visitors. They have the cabinet secretaries of PED, Department of Health, Health and Human Services. We have a representative of higher education, because when you talk about workforce, you've got to talk about who's actually going to provide the services, the high quality services. So we pull them in to say, how are we working to get people to recognize early childhood as also a valuable degree? We can't provide what we need without the workforce.
Right.
And that has come down to one of the main issues. So this council, which the short term is ELAC, luckily I've been lucky enough to serve on it for 8 years under Governor Martinez. And when her term was coming up, we all reapplied, and so I was able to stay on the council. And I actually now serve as chair of that council. Well, I'm really excited about that opportunity.
I'm sure many of our listeners and viewers are not surprised that you are now the chair of this ELAC council, Barbara Tedrow. With all the work that you have done, it's really your passion, and we can see that and hear that in your voice. And so with all this being done, and you mentioned that we are seeing results, we're moving that needle, although mm-hmm. it does take time, but we're moving it slowly in the right direction. And it seems like this past year at the legislative session, there was a little bit more focus on early childhood education and money. It's important to say, too, it's not just talking about it, but also helping to pay for it, too. And that was a very important thing that some of this budget surplus was spent on, I think, is programs that we're talking about, correct?
Correct. We've been able to, with the excess of general funds and the surplus that we had, you're right, early childhood education in the past 10 years has become a big passion of the legislators and understanding. A lot of people don't realize that a majority of a child's brain is developed by the time they're three. And so it doesn't start. It's the interaction, it's the social well-being, it's all of those domains that when a child is learning up to the time they're three, it doesn't just begin at pre-K. It
right.
doesn't start at three.
Right.
The majority is that parent interaction and realizing that a parent is the first and foremost most important factor for a child. And so part of our job in the early childhood education field is to make sure that that parent has the resources. Are they given the tools to be able to go home and give the child what they need? Are they ready to see those signs that if there is perhaps a developmental delay? There are services out there, and a lot of people don't realize, infant through 3 years old, the Family Infant Toddler Program, which is funded through the Department of Health, that's their job. That is their soul. So when there's a developmental delay and so forth, they have services available.
Right.
And our job is to make sure that parents know that, that we can see that, and we can refer parents out to the different services in the community.
And you mentioned something before that I want to pick up on, and that is the home visiting programs that we're hearing, I think, more and more about more recently than maybe we have even 5 years ago. That seems to be a newer trend in helping parents, and especially first-time parents, to understand what to expect and how things are going, and even before the child is born, to make sure everything mm-hmm. is working the way it's supposed to, and if they have any questions, to have these educated folks traveling and visiting in the home so these parents can ask these questions. And that's new, relatively new.
It's relatively new. It's been around for about 12 years.
Okay.
Growing.
Right.
And the monies that are being put into it from the legislation realize a child's well-being begins prenatal. And so it just felt the right time in that having the child care centers. We serve 6 weeks to 12 years old.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, we do after school licensed programs also. But it just made the right fit in working at the advocacy level and so forth that our next step was to start with home visiting. And what that is you find the qualified parent parent educator, and their background can be either early childhood, it can be social work, psychology, and so somebody that can go into the home. And without fear of a parent thinking that they're CYFD, they're going to come into my home. That's not
right.
the goal.
Right.
The goal is to give you the tools to be a better parent. When it's prenatal, making sure that they realize, are you getting to your visits? Are you eating correctly? Do you have proper housing? Are you able to find a job? What are you going to do after this child is born? Where are you going to go back to work? Are you going to go back to school? So it's not just the development of the child. It's getting that parent ready in a strong household,
mm-hmm.
a strong next steps, so that this child can then get what it needs. But it starts at the home, and it starts with the parent. So that's a home visitor's job, is to go in and help them with the tools and resources.
And it's one-to-one. It's not like they're sitting in a seminar with 200 other parents getting talked to.
Correct.
From someone behind a podium. I mean, it's someone in their home able to kind of fine-tune the message that the parent needs or the family needs.
Correct. what are the needs of that specific parent, and you help them, because every home situation is different. Our parent educators have worked with homeless parents. And so
different
helping
situation.
Them get the tools, exactly. And so we also have over at our facility, where we work out of the Crouch Mesa facility that we have, and it's got a parent resource room and a family room. And so sometimes parents are iffy at first, is saying, I'm not sure you want me to come at home. So a parent educator will say, well, where do you want to meet? Do you want to meet at a park? Do you want to go to our family resource room?
Okay.
And that, which makes it comfortable, so it's got a play area for the children. And they start out that way.
Sure.
And then they get comfortable and they say, okay, you know, now let's start with services in the home.
Right. Now, this all sounds great when you live near these resources, but we know New Mexico has a lot of nooks and crannies and a lot of people that live in places that are far from an urban center or even not so urban center, but that have these resources. And so this has got to be somewhat of an expensive proposal to try to get home visiting to these rural areas, but yet that's what we're talking about, is it not?
It is. We started our nonprofit. The child care centers are run under 3D Enterprises Incorporated, which is a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
But when we wanted to get into home visiting, my husband Rick and myself decided we need to do this at a level of a nonprofit because these services are better for the community. So we formed Faces First, and most of the funding for home visiting comes through CYFD. There are private outside sources like St. Joseph in Albuquerque. They take no state funding whatsoever.
Okay.
It is all self-funded through the sale of the church, of the hospitals, when
right.
they sold St. Joseph.
I see.
So they are a big entity. However, most of the childcare most of the home visiting funding comes from CYFD.
Okay.
So it's a grant process.
And you apply.
And you apply. And so it's a set amount of money per family.
I see.
And so then from there is where you set up your budgets and so forth. We are contracted to serve all of San Juan County. So our families were starting out slow, but we do have families out in the reservation,
mm-hmm.
Far out there, but that's just part of the proposal. And those are probably most of the parents that need the services.
Right.
So we take them.
So you apply and you say, we're going to visit someone, whether they're in the reservation or a block away in Farmington.
Correct.
And it just worked, and that's how you write your grant.
Correct.
And what they pay you for.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Got you. And these are free services, are they not, the home visiting?
Correct. Everything, it's 100% free.
Right.
And part of our program, which is part of the, I guess the special circumstances that I fall under, is because we've got the 3D Enterprises Incorporated, and so I've got company vehicles because we do transportation.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into a few circumstances with families that they don't even have a car. And sometimes we've gone ahead and we've made an agreement with the child care center through the home visiting program that we actually can go and pick up the parents and bring them over to the family resource room. We've taken it where they've had to go over to the WIC. And so we've taken them to their appointments. We've picked them up and taken them. That's just part of finding those families that need those services and giving them what they need.
Right.
You don't just stop and say, oh, sorry, I can't help you. We don't have those services. You find a way. There's always a way.
Sure. And I think for some folks watching and listening to us this morning, they maybe can't even fathom a family having those types of hardships to overcome. Mm-hmm. A homeless family, for example, or, you know, a pregnant mom and going to give birth and they don't have a roof over their heads and they don't know where they're going to sleep next week,
right,
much less tonight. And so these are issues, though, that we deal with each and every day in our communities, not just in San Juan County, but throughout our state.
Correct. And the job of a home visitor also is to make them available to resources. We don't necessarily need to find the solution. There are resources out there. It's to guide them in the direction and get them there. New Mexico, we are so lucky that there's a wide array of resources for every family, but most families don't know that.
Right.
And so our job is to take them to those resources and then braid those into what we're doing.
Sure. And I think a lot of families may think that there may be resources, but I got to pay for it, or I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. And maybe they don't know that it's either free or reduced or sliding scale or or some other affordable way to make these things available to all of these different families.
That's correct. And I tell you, one of the biggest resources that New Mexico has available is the child care assistance. And we have so many families that don't utilize it because they think I make too much money, or I don't qualify, or I don't want to do the paperwork. CYFD has tried very hard. And what child care assistance is it's not an entitlement program. You either have to be working or going to school to receive help for child care assistance. And that's the goal. Most people who are going to school attending San Juan College, they're probably working part-time.
Right.
And it's sad to say they would qualify. The average cost to put a child in a high-quality licensed center costs more than college tuition. And it's a hardship that people sometimes have to make that decision. Do I work, or do I put my, you know, can I put them in a high-quality center?
Right.
The other thing is, we want those children to have access. You don't want them to run into the problems that we see of them putting in an unlicensed home, or they're staying home with the boyfriend, or they're staying home with a neighbor. You want them to be able to, because that brain activity, that learning is so important, the state realizes we need to put enough money so they can attend a high-quality center.
Right. And I imagine there are some instances where the parent, maybe mom, is working a part-time job or a minimum wage job, and that barely, if at all, covers the cost of the high-quality child care.
That's correct.
It's and really a wash almost in some instances,
is.
Perhaps.
It is. Right? And that's where we need to get the word out about child care assistance, and CYFD is trying to do that. Actually, we just found out last week that there's a federal poverty level. And for child care assistance, New Mexico receives so much money from the Child Care Development Block Grant, which is federal monies that come down.
Okay.
And in order for New Mexico to receive those, they have an agreement that if you give us so many dollars, New Mexico has to match them, which is where the funding comes from.
Okay.
And part of, because it's a federal program, you have to be working or going to school. And there was that income gap. There was that set of
the poverty guidelines,
and you couldn't make above it, and it used to be at 150% of poverty, which, if you think about it, a single mom of two making I believe it was $10 an hour didn't qualify for child care assistance. How can you tell your boss sometimes, and this was what parents were having to say, was I can't take a raise because I'll lose my child care assistance.
Oh, wow.
I can't move up in my next level and move to management because I'll lose.
Right.
And that shouldn't happen. Our goal should be able to help families and young parents achieve higher standards and get there. So what New Mexico just is proposing, in fact, last week, was that they are going to bump that up to 250% of poverty level, which means a single mom of two can now make up to $44,000 a year and get child care assistance.
That would cover that benefit. Kind
correct.
Of.
And it's not just a cliff effect where once you hit that $5 over, you're gone.
Right.
So it's a gradual. Up to 250% is huge. And like I say, it's not an entitlement program. You have to work for it. Go to work, go to school. And there's also a sliding fee. So it doesn't mean free child care.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference between the parent making $9 an hour and a parent making $15. So when you go in for your application, CYFD will take your income. They'll take any child care support, and they'll say, okay, you can afford to pay a copay of $50 a month. You can afford $100 a month, or you get it for free.
Right.
So
depends on the income.
Correct. And a lot of people say, like you said, the paperwork. I don't know how to do it. CYFD has worked very hard. There's now even an app that you can go to see if you qualify.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And you can input your family size, you can input your income, and it'll tell you right then and there whether you qualify.
Nice.
So they've made it very easy. And then you go into your local CYFD office over here. It's a walk-in basis. They can take your stuff. You can get a contract right then and there.
Nice. Well, and that's the way it should be.
That's
right?
Correct.
Is making
yes.
it easy to use, because, again, a lot of these folks, even though it's hard to think of, but they just have a hard time doing the things that many of us take for granted, I think. So I think that's important to note. My guest this morning, Barbara Tedrow, is here. She is with the Gold Star Academy, also with the FACES First nonprofit organization. She's also the chairwoman of the ELAC Council, the statewide Early Learning Advisory Council.
Correct.
For the state of New Mexico. And it's great to have you here. And this is part of our monthly program about CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, everybody. And so when we talk about early childhood education, and I imagine you hear this sometimes, maybe not as much anymore, but I imagine a lot of folks, maybe grandparents now, saying, well, when I was a young kid, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't need to go to preschool or pre-K, or I just went to kindergarten, and look at me, I'm doing okay, right? And that kind of a thing. But we're learning more about how much kids learn before age 5. You mentioned it earlier.
That's correct. And we still get that from legislators. And that is a big, they provide the money. They
right.
provide the funding. And I laugh because one of our very own representatives, Rod Montoya, when he was getting ready to run for office, he sat down. He said, okay, Barbara, explain to me. Why is early childhood so important? Why should I fight for it? Mm-hmm. And he said, I didn't have exactly what you said. Well, I didn't go to preschool, and I'm fine. And once you sit down and you talk to them about the pros and the cons, the pros mm-hmm. about early childhood, and it's not just about babysitting. We have come far from that. Early childhood in
that's an
in
important distinction, I think, too, is it not?
That's
especially
correct.
With these licensed centers that you're talking about, because maybe others may be a little bit more than babysitting.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize the state has set up a focused star level.
Oh, right.
And you as a parent can go online and look up any child care center and you can see star level 2, 3, 4, and 5. The higher star level you are means the higher quality. And so to get through those steps is not easy. And so you can see in order to get to a star level 5, the education of the teachers is adamant. The teachers that I have, one of my centers is a star level 5. Gold Star Academy, the main site, is a star level 4, and we're doing our application for star level 5. It's having those qualified teachers, which means the education, the training, and the hard part we run into is that education piece.
Right.
The teachers we have to have, that lead teacher has to have an associate's working, if not a bachelor's degree, she has to have an associate's working on her bachelor's degree. And when you talk about, I have 20 classrooms.
Right. That's
finding
a lot.
Finding
that's a lot of
qualified staff, correct. And so that is one at workforce is the hardest obstacle that we have to face in offering high quality. So it's not easy to move up that star level because if you don't have the qualified staff, you can't.
Right.
Even though a lot of us are doing the services already, and I've had staff with me that have been with me the 19 years I've been in business, and we call her Dr. Susie because she could have her bachelor's degree, but she just can't pass her math classes.
Right.
So those darn prerequisites.
I'm with you. Oh my God.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell her. If I had to go back to school, I'm not quite sure that I'd be able to, you know, to do that also.
Exactly. Exactly. I understand. And this is all part of being transparent, too, because the public can see these star levels. Right?
That's correct.
On every site. And
yes.
So they can make a decision based on what they see of where they
correct.
Want to send their
and in Farmington,
children.
A lot of people don't realize the only accredited centers are the Smiling Faces that I have, Discovery Children's Center, which is the hospital. You've got the college, San Juan College.
Child and Family Development Center.
Child Family Development Center. And we've got Fundamentals Child Development Center. That's it. So those are the only accredited centers, and that's because it's hard work. It's a lot to get up there. And a lot of, I don't want to say it's paperwork, but a lot of it is paperwork, but that's because of the assessments mm-hmm. on what we do on the children. We start when they come into the center at 6 weeks. You know, home visiting, they start at prenatal.
Right.
And you just make sure that these children, it's a one-on-one. The teacher sees those watches and does the developmental screenings. Parents have to do developmental screenings. Childcare is not just dropping off your child and leaving them for the day. It's a co-parenting,
right.
is what it is. And we spend probably more time with these parents during the work week than their parents do. They're dropped off at 7:30 and don't get picked up till 5:30.
Spending more time with the children.
With the children,
yes.
at the childcare center.
Right.
And that's why it's adamant that we have that quality staff.
Sure. Now, I interrupted you. You were telling me how you were educating Representative Montoya about
yes.
the importance of early childhood education. And I don't want to leave that hanging because I'd like the audience to hear what you told him.
Correct. Just explaining that, you know, a child's brain development comes through a lot of the social aspect of a child being around other children. It's not just teaching them to do ABCs, the social aspects of learning, which I know a lot of parents, when you teach the philosophy, New Mexico has gone to a philosophy of learning through play. And so a lot of parents will come and go, well, I'm not getting a worksheet. I'm not bringing anything home. That's not learning. It's been proven through studies that children learn through play. And let me give you an example, and this is what I told Representative Montoya, mm-hmm. was, you know, you come into my center and you see, you know, three-year-olds. And they're playing in housekeeping, and they're playing, you know, grocery shopping. And so you've got the cash register, and you bring the child with their basket. A teacher's job is to say, oh, well, how many apples do you have? They're counting.
Right.
They're learning to say 1, 2, 3. And she says, well, what color are they? Well, this one's red. this one's green. Okay, that's learning through play.
So sneaky. So sneaky how you do that.
That's exactly. And that's you make it interesting, and you're teaching a child without them even realizing it.
Right.
It's not pen and paper. It's not sitting down and tracing letters. You know, it's all about the child at their own pace. Every child is different. And that's why when it comes to your high-quality centers and you think about lesson plans and curriculums, they're written weekly. There is no set curriculum. You don't just buy a book and say, page 7, this is what we're doing today. It's all based off of a teacher's observations for that week. And if she notices that little Johnny may be, not as apt during, with his fine motor skills, well, then during that next week lessons plans, she's going to pull in some activities that not only for little Johnny, but for the whole class, but that's why. Because you've pulled it in and say, okay, what activities can I do for those fine motor skills? But right. It's their observations.
Got it. Makes sense to me. And again, it's an important thing. And I know this conversation continues in our state. And there's always room for more, right? Even though there's so much more money being put into these programs and home visiting and things that
Correct.
We're talking about this morning, there still are underserved segments of our population, and there's a lot of other proposals of how to spend even more money, or maybe permanent fund money, or other things that are ongoing, correct? And I would think it would be a good thing.
It is.
To expand these
It's
things,
a very
right?
good thing. We would love to take as much money as we can. However, one of those unforeseen consequences that we have talked to legislators about is that you can't just dump money into a program, because first of all, where are you going to find those programs? You can't just open up a high-quality licensed childcare center overnight, and you won't have the quality staff. So we have to do it intermittently, so that we're given those times and those tools in order to do that. So even though they may say, well, we want to give you another $150 million with this surplus, that would have been great, and we could have all done it. However, where are we going to put the children? Who's going to educate them? So we do have to do it slowly, not to say that we don't appreciate the money. We just have to be very careful on how we implement that.
Right.
And number one is the workforce. When you talk to child care centers and you talk about the ELAC, that is our number one concern. And actually, New Mexico just received another $5.6 million grant in order to deal with those issues. And number one is going to be early childhood education workforce. And so what's going to happen is CYFD has contracted with the New Mexico Early Childhood Development Partnership, which is primarily run out of Santa Fe. And they're an organization, a nonprofit organization, that does a lot of advocacy. In fact, they helped work on Senate Bill 22, which is a new department, and we can talk about that in a bit.
Okay.
They're actually going to be holding stakeholder meetings in the next month, and they have contacted me about coming to Farmington. And so what we're working on is we're trying to plan around September 24th, 25th with two separate sections. One being the stakeholders of those of us that are the worker bees, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the Head Start organizations, it'll be the home visitors, the child care center directors, the administrators, public ed, PED, and getting a feel for how this money should be spent and how we can prioritize. And then it wants to be another stakeholder meeting of the legislators, the senators, the mayor, bringing in the superintendents, bringing in those people, bringing you in, and getting people
Nobody
to
wants
understand.
To hear from me, but,
yes,
but
we
thank
do.
You.
Exactly. But, bringing in the other people, the
sure.
business owners,
mm-hmm.
not realizing if you are a business and want to have that quality person come to you after they graduate high school or after they graduate college, it starts with me. It starts at the very beginning, because if we can catch those developmental delays, we can get those children kindergarten ready, then we're saving the state so much money, because then it doesn't wait until third grade. They don't do those assessments at third grade and go, okay, now we've got to dump so much money into this child to try to catch them up. We've already started at 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
And so by the time they get to kindergarten, those monies aren't needed anymore. I can't say they're not needed, because
sure.
there will always be circumstances. However, when it comes, and this is how we propose to legislators as to why they should keep funding early childhood, is early childhood is the biggest return you can ever receive on money. So for every dollar that is put into early childhood, there's a return of $12 to $15. You can't
wow.
say that about any other monies that are spent in this state.
I would think that would get their attention.
It does.
Good.
It does. So that's why we need the money. But it's also, it has to be for quality services.
Right. We just have a few minutes remaining, Barbara Tedrow, and I know we could sit here all morning and talk about this topic because it's a passion of yours and it's a very interesting topic of mine as well. But you mentioned this new cabinet position, correct, in the administration.
Correct.
And I do want to ask you a bit about that because that I would think would bring a little bit more, elevate this topic even more so in the roundhouse, in the governor's office, and elsewhere as we start putting even more focus on this issue.
And it's such a big focus that this past session, they actually, Senate Bill 22 created a new department just for early childhood. It's the Early Child Education and Care Department.
Okay.
And so what it is when you work in early childhood as in the past, there were different entities, five different entities that I as a provider had to work with. So not only did I work with CYFD on licensing early childhood home visiting, we worked with the Department of Health because they oversee the Family Infant Toddler Program.
Okay.
You work with the Department of Health and Human Services because of those services outside like WIC and working with parents.
Right.
Our job isn't just children, it's helping those parents. Working with the Public Education Department because of the pre-K funding down at the lower four-year-old level.
Mm-hmm.
PED is highly involved in early childhood education and the higher learning. And so what this department did was it's now going to bring all those entities to one. And we won't have to be doing, well, what did this department say? I have to go meet with this department. It's all under one cabinet now. One of the exciting things that they did with this this new bill and this new department was, and by the way, it passed unanimously.
Wow.
That doesn't happen.
I was going to say, right?
Actually, there were three people, I think, that voted against it. But
okay.
Wide majority.
Almost unanimously.
Almost unanimously.
99.9%.
Correct. It's going to have its own cabinet secretary, and in this bill, they are actually going to name a deputy cabinet secretary of American Indian Affairs. Because in New Mexico, we are unique in that we have lots of different reservations and entities, and we needed somebody to pull those in. And during the testimony of this bill, the presentations, I actually served as an expert witness with Senator Michael Padilla in presenting those barriers that we experience, for example, here in Farmington and San Juan County with the Navajo Nation. There is sovereign unity.
Right.
And so trying to pull together those resources, the Navajo Nation has its own child care assistance program, and people don't realize that. They just think CYFD. And we need to be able to braid those services because for their children and our children, there could be so much more money available. They just need to be braided, and
right.
They need to be brought together.
And that's what this would do.
And that's what this will do, is okay. They're going to have their own deputy cabinet secretary to make sure that all of the different entities can work together.
Right.
And they're each unique. You know, the
sure.
Navajo Nation is unique from Zuni Pueblo and so forth, but that's going to be the job.
Well, that's important as well, because every child in our state, whether they're on a reservation or off a reservation or in a Pueblo or off a Pueblo, mm-hmm. deserve the same opportunities.
That's correct.
As everybody else. So, mm-hmm. Well, Barbara Tedrow, we are out of time, but I appreciate you coming in this morning to visit with me about this important topic, and it sounds like we'll be hearing more about it in the years to come.
Yes, correct.
Very yep. exciting. Very exciting times in
Thank
New Mexico.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Barbara Tedrow, my guest here on KSJE. And I'll be back with more in just a moment, everyone. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.